Well, over the years, I've been in many different event venues. I've been in amphitheaters, I've been in coliseums, indoor and outdoor stadiums, I've been in bowls, I've been in theaters. I've seen professional football, basketball, baseball, hockey, soccer. I've been to monster truck jams and motocross races. I've seen air shows, musicals, and dramas. And regardless of what it is, as you all know, there's something special about seeing those kinds of things live and in person. We like entertainment. People like entertainment. I think people have always liked entertainment. 2,000 years ago, people liked entertainment. And people liked entertainment so much, and enough so that in one place they built this amazing place, part of which is standing still to this day. The Flavian Amphitheater, or the Colosseum as we know it, in the center of the city of Rome, Italy. As the slide there shows, that's what it was. That's what it looked like. Well, actually, that's part of it. Most of the outer part has kind of crumbled and fallen away. That's more the inner part because of all the earthquakes that they've had. But construction on this amazing place started in 72 AD and was completed around about 80 AD. It's interesting that the construction of it was funded by the abundant spoils taken from the Jewish temple when the Romans sieged Jerusalem in 70 AD. Historically, we know that the Romans captured Rome and knocked the whole place down, and the wealth that they took from that, again, a huge portion of that went to fund the building of this place. Beautiful, built of travertine, limestone, volcanic rock, brick-faced concrete. It's an enormous structure. Originally, it was It's an oval structure. It was 615 feet long, about 510 feet wide, stood 157 feet high, and at its base took up about 6 acres of land. It would hold between 50 to 80,000 spectators. It had sailcloth awnings to shade the crowd. It had ramps, underground tunnels, all sorts of things built into this thing. Again, the phenomenal building that went into this thing a couple thousand years ago. We'll walk through a few pictures. You can see kind of what it looked like from the interior as you would see it today if you were a tourist there, and some other views and other shots. That's what it probably, the model looks like of what it would have looked like originally, and around the outside perimeter were various Roman gods and deities and other things like that. You can see the sails on the top, the fabric that would shelter the people. There's kind of a cutaway of what it would have looked like originally. Just enormous structure and the things that they were able to do there. Incredible thing. Well, as we know, it was used for gladiatorial contests, mock sea battles, animal hunts, executions, reenactments of various battles, and dramas based on Roman mythology. In the inaugural games that were held there when it opened, probably around 80-81 AD, over 9,000 wild animals were killed during the games in the amphitheater. So it was used to host gladiatorial shows. Gladiators, as we know them, they were professionally trained fighters, many of whom were former slaves or ex-prisoners. Maybe you remember that movie Gladiator that Russell Crowe starred in, showed kind of the life of one of these gladiators. They hosted animal hunts. Animals were imported from Africa and the Middle East. Rhinoceros, hippopotamus, elephants, giraffes, lions, panthers, leopards, bears, tigers, crocodiles, ostriches. And hunts were staged among sets with movable trees and buildings, and they had this elaborate thing. So either the animals were sent out to hunt one another, or people would go out and hunt them in front of all the people. Also, at different times, they were able to fill the stadium up with water and there, again, reenact sea battles. There was one particular celebration that went on there. It lasted 123 days. And during the course of that time, there were like 11,000 animals that were hunted and killed by about 10,000 gladiators. Now, here's an interesting thing. During that particular thing, during their lunch intervals or during the lunch break, so while you were having lunch during that time, they would stay or they would have executions. So those people who were condemned to die would be sent into the arena naked and unarmed, basically to face beasts that would just tear them apart and eat them right in front of all the people while they're eating their lunch. You think, holy cow, that's their amusement. The Colosseum is generally regarded by Christians as a site of martyrdom of large numbers of believers during the persecution of the Christians during the Roman Empire. And their crime primarily was refusal to either revere or pay tribute to the Roman gods. Just this amazing history that went on in this place. The Colosseum was substantially ruined over time by a number of earthquakes, but it still partially stands today and is listed as one of the, in the newer version, the seven wonders of the world. It's also listed as one of the most popular tourist attractions in the world. In 2018, about 7.4 million tourists came to see the Colosseum. And you say, what an amazing entertainment venue. See, whatever your heart desires to see, it was there for your viewing pleasure. And as I was reflecting on the Colosseum, I couldn't help but think of it kind of as a metaphor, analogy of the human heart. It was like this, that Colosseum kind of was like a giant mirror that reflected where the spirit and heart of the people of Rome were at. Whatever your desire was, you could find it there in that place. Do you want to watch some violence? Do you need to get out some aggression? Do you need to have some amusement? Do you want to see some justice? Then, you know, watch a fight between animals. Watch a lion attack a giraffe or a camel. You know, watch a staged animal hunt. Watch a convicted criminal get torn apart and eaten by a crocodile or by a tiger. We like our entertainment. It's an escape from reality. We like amusement. Isn't that why we have Netflix and we play video games, or why we go to the theater, or why we attend sporting events? But see, here's the deal. Everything that happened in the Colosseum back then, we can see today and more. And in a virtual way, we can even be a part of it. So I guess the question is it wrong to watch competitive games? No, it's not wrong. Is it wrong to watch a drama or a reenactment of something from history? No. But I guess we can obviously also say there's a line. There's a line that we can cross. But it brings back more the question, you know, what does our heart crave? What is kind of the desire of our heart? What do we want to feed into our heart? Paul writes in 2 Timothy chapter 3, he says, in the last days, people will be lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. See, the big concern is our desires can be misplaced. And if you take a misplaced desire, you can really go off the wrong direction. And as Paul would say, you begin to gratify the cravings of our sinful nature. You follow its desire. But the desires that we have, can they ever truly be met? Solomon writes in Ecclesiastes 6, "Everyone's toil is for their mouth, yet their appetite is never satisfied." Isaiah writes in chapter 29, "As when a hungry person dreams of eating, but awakens hungry still. As when a thirsty person dreams of drinking, but awakes faint and thirsty still, so it will be with the hordes of all the nations that fight against Mount Zion." Those who fight against God or his people or his work or looking for something other than what God is offering, it seems like there's this constant hunger, this constant thirsting. We dream of this, but it never really happens. Still hungry? Thinking there is more or that you need more, there's something greater? But what does God provide? In Psalm 107:9, it says, "For he satisfies the thirsty and fills the hungry with good things." So what are the good things that actually satisfy? God's love, his grace, his mercy, his forgiveness. Ever since I read that one thing, as I was studying some things about the Colosseum, my mind kept always going back to that one statement about what happened during those games during lunch break, where spectators would sit there in the stadium and watch animals kill and eat convicted criminals. And they laughed in amusement, probably saying, "Yeah, he's just getting what he deserves." And you can't help but come away and say, how brutal is that? How dark is that? But what was the most brutal and public spectacle ever? The most brutal and public spectacle ever was when Jesus was tortured and then publicly just paraded through the streets of Jerusalem and then nailed on a cross and left to die. And in some ways, it was for the amusement of the people. It was done for their viewing pleasure. This Roman form of putting someone to death. And they, says they looked at him and they mocked him, they made fun of him, they jeered him. They were amused by it. He's just getting what he deserves. And Jesus looks at the people, the crowd from the cross, and said, they don't know what they're doing. They just don't get it. You see, God knows how dark our hearts can be, how empty they can be, how lonely they can be. And God knows all about what we have done to try to satisfy our heart's desires. Because sin has so messed everything up. It's the cause of violence. And it's with behind hearts that even want to watch and even just crave violence. And sin causes separation and mistrust and distorts reality. It causes us to think, you know what? We can solve these problems. You name a problem, we can solve it. We have all the answers. All we need to do is just. So we'll build things. We'll make things. We'll build great walls. We'll make cities out of rock and say, we're secure. We've got this. We have our wealth. We've got it. And for all the people who thought it at the time were in the middle of their heyday, Things are different today. Those places are ghost towns and tourist attractions. Life built on the pursuit of pleasure and entertainment. It's kind of empty. But you see, the death of Jesus on the cross for our sins, the resurrection of Jesus from the dead, can change all of that, put it into perspective. It kind of reminds me of the gospel reading for today, where this person was out and they found these various treasures, and all of a sudden everything they thought that was worth something is nothing compared to what they just found. That treasure, that pearl of great price. Paul wrote this to the Philippians. Whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Whatever you have learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put it into practice. And he says, it will happen. And then the God of peace will be with you. For your viewing pleasure, I guess the question that we end on today is this. We ask it to ourselves. What am I looking to for my ultimate satisfaction? And I would say, may God help us to desire what offers peace. And that will be with you always to the very end. For our viewing pleasure, if we look to Christ and what he offers us in life, everything just kind of takes on a different perspective on things. I pray that that would be the very thing that we look to and look for. And he will give us that peace. Kind of segues into maybe where we're going to go next week. Next week, we're going to head south, heading to Peru. Ask the question, you know, what sun do you worship? So now may the peace of God that passes all understanding keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus.